Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Second Chronicles chapter 16, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad of Syria that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ajan and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mizpah. And at that time Hanani the seer came to Asa king of Judah and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Assyria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. And behold, the acts of Asa, the first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. And they made a very great burning for him. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. What an interesting passage. After all of that good stuff that we've heard about Asa, we come to the 36th year of his reign. Now, may I say that this is the last tenth. I don't know if that's particularly significant, but we know that we give the first tenth to the Lord such that he might have the rest, right? So notice that the last tenth of the Lord Asa did not give to him, or the last tenth of his reign Asa did not give that to the Lord, but he, in a sense, went his own way. And so all of that good that Asa had done up through those 36 years, and the Lord had preserved his kingdom from wars and had given him all kinds of good things to do into his hands, and he did all of those good things, as we read in the last two chapters in 2 Chronicles 14 and 15. Now we come to chapter 16, and we find that he is attacked by Baasha, king of Israel, in the north. And what does Asa do? Does he call upon the name of the Lord? Does he trust in his God like he did when the Ethiopians came up against him with 1,000s? No. No, he doesn't. Instead, he calls up his father's friend, Ben-Hadad. And notice then, there are several uses that we can make. We see the evil example of the father played out even upon a son that had a reputation for being a godly man. Parents, we cannot underestimate the power of our example, good or evil. We cannot underestimate the power of that example. And so even good King Asa, and I think it's right to call him good King Asa, was ill affected by the example of his father, and so he went to Ben-Hadad, the king of Assyria, like his father did when he was in some straits, instead of calling upon the name of the Lord. And so we see a fall in Asa from his former faithfulness, and that is occasioned by the example, the bad example of his father before him. All right, so what happens? Well, he receives some temporal relief by following that bad example. Let me tell you this. We must never reason from outcomes. He got his temporal relief. Wasn't that a sign of the Lord's blessing? No, not at all. It was not a sign of the Lord's blessing. As a matter of fact, it may have been a sign of the Lord's withdrawal of blessing, because in the flow and context of 2 Chronicles 15 and 16, we see that the Lord sent affliction to the northern kingdom because of their sins, and that sent many south to King Asa, who was a good king. And now the Lord withdraws his hand of affliction from Asa when he does wrong. What is that a sign of? It's a sign of the Lord withdrawing his care. And so, no, it may not be a good thing. Many times we reason from temporal outcomes to a particular practice or doctrine. See, the Lord blessed it, so it must be good. It's okay, Balaam. Go with Balak. The Lord will bless it in the end. Is that what Balaam learned? No, Balaam learned to obey the commands of God. I have a guy that I know from a few years back, who was, by his words, not mine, a self-proclaimed missionary, Calvinistic missionary to the world. Self-proclaimed Calvinistic missionary to the world. I said, well, are you under anyone's authority? No, I don't need that. Have you been ordained? No, I don't need that. Well, who sent you? I sent me. It was serious. I mean, he wasn't being flippant. He was serious. And he said, and you can't argue with the fruit. No, I can't argue with the fruit. I can argue with the method. Just because there's some temporal advancement doesn't mean the Lord will not then turn and curse that crooked stick with which he drew that straight line. Right? Okay, so he goes to Ben-Hadad against Baasha. He pays him money. So money now is taken out of the treasuries of the Lord and given to the heathen. Remember that the entire sweep of the blessings of the Lord toward his church are just the opposite of that. That the riches of the Gentiles come flowing into the church. People, goods, all, you know, it's all described in the Old Testament, fashion as the best, the fruit, the cream of the crop of the Gentiles flowing in to the kingdom of God. Well, now it's working the opposite direction. Things are flowing out of the kingdom of God into heathen hands. That should have been enough of a sign. And so he receives some temporal benefit. He goes to his palace in peace, probably congratulating himself for his extremely good foresight as a king and ruler of his nation. And then the Lord does stir up affliction in the person of Hanani. Hanani, the seer, who comes to Asa and reveals his sin unto him. And I hope you see what a grace that was. What a mercy that was from the Lord to good King Asa. The Lord does remember the good, the faithfulness of King Asa, and so he stirs up the prophet to come and convict him of his sins. Did Asa have a good reaction to that? Ooh, no, he did not. No, Asa pulled out his gun and shot the messenger, sort of. He put him in prison, didn't he? He said, don't you can't dare talk to me like that. Don't you know who I am? I'm sure that if he had asked that question, Hanani would have said something like this: yes, thou art the servant of the Lord. Serve him. And so he put him in prison. He put him in the prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some other people at the same time. And so it may now be an error to call him good King Asa. But the Lord is not done with his servant. He afflicts him in his feet in the 39th year of his reign. And afflicting him in his feet is very interesting, right? Because it's those feet that he used before to do the evil that he did. And so the Lord afflicts him in his feet. And what does he do? Does he call upon the name of the Lord? No. He does not call upon the name of the Lord. Instead, he seeks to the physicians and not calling then upon the name of the Lord. Now, let's make sure that these things are not mutually exclusive in our thoughts, right? It's not unlawful to use physicians, but it is unlawful to think that they have the answer. The Lord has the answer. And you've heard me say this before. Let me say it again so that some of you that perhaps were not here will hear it. Those good doctors, those good and faithful men that are Christians, that do trust God, and there are plenty of them out there, they will tell you, I may have two men come to me with the same presentation, at the same age, they're the same body type, they live the same kind of lifestyle, and I may prescribe for them the same medicine, one gets well and one doesn't. What makes the difference there? The Lord makes the difference. And those physicians will tell you that, those good ones. They recognize that it's not their medicines, not their skill. That doesn't downgrade or denigrate medicine. It doesn't denigrate skill, and it doesn't denigrate their experience. But it puts these things in their proper perspectives. Asa is condemned because he did the same thing that he did when Baasha attacked him. He did not call upon the Lord. He called upon some external means, some adjunct means that the Lord uses, and gave not God the glory. Refused to call upon his name. And he did the same thing when he was diseased in his feet. If we will do it in the greater, we will do it in the lesser. If we'll do it in the lesser, we'll do it in the greater. So we must then turn away from trusting in means to trust in God instead. Thus ends the reading of 2 Chronicles chapter 16.